Ladies and gentlemen in attendance and to our webinar guests around the world, welcome back to the 2025 MicroCap Rodeo. Next up, it is the CFO of PaySign, Inc. I give you Mr. Jeff Baker. Jeff, come on up here.
Thank you very much.
Jeff, as he said, my name is Jeff Baker, CFO, PaySign. I've been with the company just over 4 years. Happy to present the company is listed on the NASDAQ under the symbol PAYS. Some forward-looking statements. I'm not going to read this, but you should read this as part of the housekeeping details, as well as management uses non-GAAP financial measures. Most of the companies that follow us look at adjusted EBITDA, which is EBITDA plus stockholders' comp. So what does PaySign do? We effectively, what this slide says, is that we are a program manager, processor. We do everything soup to nuts. So one throat to choke, so to speak. We do our own chargebacks. We do our own customer service, 24/7, 365, bilingual customer service. We're not relying on third parties. When we need to make a change to our software, we do it ourselves. We don't have to wait in line 3, 6, 9 months for processors to do what we need to do to be successful. The company was incorporated in 1995. We're headquartered in Southern Nevada. Actually, we're just a suburb of Las Vegas. We've been around for more than 20 years, mostly providing payment services to the healthcare industry. We also do other prepaid areas where we're replacing checks and cash, just like other prepaid companies. Like I said, the predominant piece of our business is in healthcare payments and two vertical markets. I'll talk about those in a moment. Some quick milestones here. In 2007, we actually entered the pharmaceutical prepaid space where we were providing electronic payments for other customers like hub service providers in the industry. One that everybody is pretty familiar with is called McKesson. I'm sure most people have heard of that company. They have a division called Cover My Meds and where we were doing prepaid payments. In 2011, we moved into the plasma industry and where people, when they go give plasma, they used to pay them with cash and check, and now they put it on a open loop debit card, branded Visa branded card, and so we entered that space. The company went public through a reverse merger in 2018, and then in 2019 we rebranded PaySign, again symbol PAYS. At the end of the fourth quarter, some metrics here. We had 480 plasma centers that we did payments for. There's about a little over 1,200 in the U.S. The U.S., ironically, provides over 75% of the world's plasma. Plasma is used, that's the clear liquid that comes out of the blood. So you can get plasma twice a week, 8 times a month. I think you can get blood like every 6 weeks. You sit in a machine and they separate the plasma from the red blood cells and put the red blood cells back in your body. Anyway, we have about 40% market share today in that business. We exited the year also with 76 patient affordability programs. That's the other side of our business. Patient affordability is also known as copay. So what happens is you get a script from your doctor. You go to the pharmacist. You're trying to get that script filled. 80% is going to be paid by your health insurance, usually with most health plans. And the other 20%, they're going to say, Jeff, I need 20% from you. So a lot of these, especially pharma drugs, there's over 800 in the country, in the market today. And like I said, with the end of end of the year, we had 76. But they're very expensive drugs, and most people can't afford a $200 copay. So what will happen at that point is that the pharmaceutical company will be willing to pay that because the abandonment rate for drugs for them filling a prescription at the pharmacy is like 65%. So the pharmaceutical company would rather have 80% of something rather than 0% of nothing. And they also realize that eventually you're going to reach a point where you're going to reach your maximum out-of-pocket expenditure, and then the health insurance company is going to pay 100%. So this happens every year. And at the January 1st, every year, your benefits reset, as you know. Some investment highlights. So on our financials, we have strong cash flow. It's been continuing to improve. We had heavy investments in the patient affordability business over the past 3 years, 22, 23, and 24. And we're starting to show that that investment's paying off, and you're starting to see margin expansion good cash flow. And like I said, and we have zero debt. Both businesses, the plasma business in a normal world grows about 5% a year. It's a good cash cow. Last year did about $43-44 million in revenue. And then the pharma patient affordability business, it's our real growth driver. And I've already given guidance this year that it'll grow at least 135% over last year. Last year it did $12.7 million, and that's kind of put it in that $28-30 million camp this year. We have great technology in the cloud. The platform continues to be developed and improved. We have superior products and services, and really good sales and delivery and service. And that's one thing. I mean, the plasma and patient affordability and pharmaceutical customers, they have zero appetite for systems to go down. So that's the best way I can say it. So uptime, service, and delivery is extremely important. And we can move very fast when things change or when our customers need to change. Or from a leadership perspective, if you look at our senior leadership, it's people either out of the banking industry, the payments industry like myself, or out of the patient affordability industry. So a lot of great domain expertise. That's one thing our CEO has done a really good job over the last, I'd say, 5 to 6 years, is bring in good quality senior leadership. Paysign at a glance. So the stock closed just over 440 on, I think this is Monday, market cap just over 240 million. Fully diluted shares outstanding, 55 million. Our 2024 revenue was 58 million. Trailing 12-month revenue was 64 million. So, and you'll see that here on the in the bottom slide with the green representing the first quarter. Fully diluted EPS was 7 cents. Yes, we are profitable, both from an earnings perspective, from a net income perspective, as well as an adjusted EBITDA perspective. My gross margins at the end of the first quarter was 62.9%. That's up from 53% the year same period last year. And then, like I said, I have no debt, and I've got $111 million of cash, of which $7 million roughly is unrestricted. The rest of the restricted cash, about half of that, is the dollars that are sitting in a bank account waiting to be spent. These are people that have paid, gone and given plasma, and they've gotten paid $70, $60, $70 per instance. As they sell that, as they use those funds by going to buy groceries, gas, getting money off ATM, I make money, and that's our card-based revenue. This is just a quick screenshot of our 12-month chart. You'll see it was in a downtrend for whatever reason. I have no idea, but it rallied after we reported first quarter earnings, because I think the street is starting to recognize the leverage that we now have that we're showing with that patient affordability business, that investment that was made. I think there was a lot of doubt from investors whether or not we could actually turn that into a leverageable business, and we started to demonstrate that in the first quarter. So by the numbers, I mentioned 2024 revenue, $58.4 million. The trailing 12-month revenue, $64 million. We've got trailing 12-month adjusted EBITDA, $13 million, and total assets of $105 million. On the left here, you'll see revenue by segment. And the light blue is the plasma business. The darker blue is the patient affordability business. And then the green is kind of the other. So we have other prepaid programs that we use. We've got a payroll business. We've got a metal recycling business. We've got AAA, where I do gift cards for them. But it's a very small piece of our business. And then the chart on the right is shows you our annual revenue growth from 21 through 24, and then trailing 12 months. And I mentioned down here earlier the revenue drivers we have, the cardholder fees, which I already explained. I also get interchange when those cards are used. I also get interchange from my patient affordability business because we'll pay some of those claims with a virtual debit card. So I get, you know, interchange there. I get monthly management fees in the patient affordability business. And then I get other fees like call center fees, et cetera. A very interesting point is that we've got to the point where we basically run our call center at break even. In other words, I'm able to bill out as much as it costs me to pay for the call center employees. That's a very unique business from us. And then the other thing I didn't mention claim fees. So in the patient affordability, it's also transactional. I get paid based on the number of claims that I settle. And it doesn't matter if the claim is for $1,000 or $100, I get paid the same amount. The first quarter, the first half of the year is always the strongest from a claims perspective because people haven't reached their maximum out of pocket yet. Like I said, in the second half of the year, claims go down because your insurance company usually picks up that 100%. The patient affordability business, I mentioned it a little bit. There's kind of two areas. One of them is pharmacy benefit copay, just like what it says. You go to a pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, you know, independent pharmacy, you get your prescription filled, and we're going to pay that claim. The other one is the medical benefit copay solutions, which is the same thing, except it's, you know, intravenous drugs delivered at hospitals or urgent care facilities, et cetera. And again, you know, pharmaceutical companies pay these on your behalf because they want you on the drug. One of the things that we have in this business that has really helped our success is this thing called dynamic business rules. So dynamic business rules, it's a proprietary technology that we're able to see in the transaction flow where we can identify on first fill whether or not a claim is being paid by or should be paid by from a copay program or whether it's going to be paid by into these maximizers that are out there. And I don't want to lose people through the weeds here, but these maximizers are like Save-On, a Prudent Rx. We can identify a transaction and stop that transaction. So in 2024, we saved our customers over $100 million in claims that they would have made if they weren't using this technology. And this year, it'll be at least double that. So it's real money, real dollars. We've had, you know, customers who are marquee customers for us who have agreed to be reference, and they've said Payson is no longer a cost center for us; they're a revenue generating center for us, and that's very powerful, especially as we are able to add more customers. And if the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, this is the patient affordability business. The green again is the first quarter of this year versus last year. It's somewhat kind of the growth is masked a little bit. Like I said earlier, you know, in a normal world, the revenues would kind of fall off at the end of the second half of the year. But we've been adding so many programs. Exited 2024, like I said, with 76 programs. I exited the first quarter with 90 programs, and there's more coming that we'll add throughout the year and stage it for when the clock switches on January 1st and everything resets. Now all those programs and all those claims will then, you know, hit in the first quarter of next year. The other part of our business, the plasma donor solutions, you know, pretty self-explanatory, 40% market share. Told you how we make money on that. This business is, grows about 5% a year. In a normal world. Coming out of COVID, inventory levels were so depressed because the biggest risk to this business are people that sit at home and get free money from the government. people get plasma because they're using it to supplement their income, not because they like sitting in a chair for 2 hours to give, you know, have a needle in their arm. So coming out of COVID, the inventory levels were low. You know, plasma companies were trying to build those inventory levels back up, and like anything else, they overcorrected. And about the fourth quarter of last year, we started to see plasma companies starting to cut their hours. They don't shut the centers because you have to get – it's a six-month process to get a center certified to by the FDA to be selling plasma. So what they did is they've, you know, if they were open 7 days a week, now they're open 5 days a week. They've cut the, you know, weekend staff out. But this business, you know, we've told the street that we expect it to be down 8 to 10% this year. It's a good variable business, so my revenues go down, my costs go down. You know, still a nice margin, nice cash cow business. This will all abate. You know, plasma has a limited shelf life of it, but this will all abate over the next, you know, by the end of this year, first half of next year. And this is plasma by the numbers. Plasma, usually the first quarter is the weakest quarter because what happens? Tax refunds, right? So people getting free money from the government. And then it usually builds throughout the rest of the year. And so it is, there's some seasonality with it when you're looking at the business and trying to compare year over year. We recently bought a company named Gamma Innovation. I'm really excited about this. We paid $16 million in cash and stock, structured it over 4 years, both the cash component and the stock vesting component of it. And we bought three software applications that were really built for the plasma industry. So the TAM in the plasma market is about $100 million just on the payment side, and we have 40% market share. So we're not, it's, you know, that's somewhat limited. The TAM on the patient affordability side, just on the payment side, is like over $500 million, and we're early days on that. This acquisition, by bringing in three more software applications, expands the TAM, our opportunity, in plasma in general. Now, the plasma industry is dominated from a software and hardware perspective by one company out of Canada named Haemonetics. And there really hasn't been a lot of development from them, and there hasn't been a lot of disruption in the plasma space. But with these applications, now there are international hardware companies that are in the process of getting FDA approval for their machines to come to the U.S., and they would like nothing more than to have an integrated software application that they could help sell into other plasma companies. So we were in Poland 2 weeks ago. I wasn't, but my my CEO and other individuals from the company were there. And the receptivity on these products was extremely positive. So we'll see how that develops going forward. Even without that, if I don't sell one, I'm already happy with this acquisition because it came with a guy who has a great development shop. He was formerly with Google, Citibank, and he came in and immediately recognized over $4 to $5 million in cash savings from the way just improving our development activities or our development. And we told the street exiting the second quarter will be on that $4 to $5 million annual run rate in cash savings. Now, it won't all drop to the bottom line because I was capitalizing on a lot of those costs, but it will improve my cash flow. And these are some of the other, I mentioned, the payroll. I mentioned AAA for their gift card business and others. You know, so we have, you know, kind of these small other prepaid areas that we go after that are still, you know, paying people in cash or checks. But our main focus is in the healthcare payments. Every prepaid company has this, probably same slide. This is a huge market opportunity. And on the far right, you see all of the products that we have that we could sell in if we wanted to go after some of these. But I mean, I'll be very honest. I came from one of the largest retail prepaid companies in the world. We're not going into retail. It's a pay-to-play game. It's dominated by two companies, Blackhawk and Incom. So if you're small like us and nimble, you find these little niches where you can make a difference. You can provide great service. And, you can beat the competition based on innovation. So, like I said, most of our stuff comes from the corporate-funded incentive and rebates is what that area is called. with the healthcare. So some financial highlights. As I mentioned, if you look here on the second line, net income, we are profitable. You have to look at really same period this year versus same period last year, so Q1 versus Q1, Q2 versus Q2, et cetera. We do have, you know, benefit from a really nice Ben sponsorship deal where we get, you know, interest income on the balances that we keep at the bank. You know, our depreciation amortization has been climbing due to the investment, like I mentioned, in the patient affordability business, that capitalized software development. But if you, you know, go all the way down to the bottom, you'll see our adjusted EBITDA is growing. You'll see our adjusted EBITDA margins growing. You see our net income is growing and our net income margins growing. So I think it's a testament to the vision that, that Mark had, you know, 5 years ago when he started back into the patient affordability business, built out a team, invested the company's capital, knowing that it wasn't going to happen overnight, and we're finally reaching a point where we're starting to see that, that operating leverage. We're covered by five companies. They all have buy or buy equivalent ratings on us. Their target price is anywhere from $6 to $8-ish dollars. You know, there's some good analyst coverage here. Some resources, if you go to our website, our investor relations website, you can download this presentation. And it's very important because I put this in here. If you want to know, whatever you want to know about the plasma industry, you can click on the top row here, those three areas. It'll tell you how many plasma centers there are. It'll tell you what plasma therapies are used, you know, what therapies use plasma, et cetera. The bottom section here, due to the complexity in the patient affordability business and copay, it's not as easy as I just told you. But if you're interested, go do the research. You'll find out why PBMs are not good. You'll find out why maximizers are not good. You'll find out, you know, how complex and how inefficient our entire drug system is. And people ask me, is this, you know, can you expand this outside the U.S.? I'm like, no, it doesn't exist outside the U.S. It's socialist medicine, and the government pays for most of everything. In the U.S., the government doesn't. And by the way, and I didn't mention this, copay is only applicable to non-government health plans. So if you're on Medicare or Medicaid, you can't, you're not even associated. You can't even be a part of a copay program. So this is the 170 million, roughly, individuals who aren't on government programs, which is unfortunate because I have parents who I would love to be able to subsidize their drug costs, but you know they're on Medicare, so unfortunately they don't qualify. The leadership team I mentioned here, you can look at these wonderful mugshots at your own leisure, but trust me when I say 90% of the people on this page either came out of the three areas: banking, payments, or healthcare, patient affordability. We have a really good group of independent directors. Dan Henry is an icon in the payments industry. He used to be the president of Euronet Worldwide, a public company. He then went on to be the CEO of Netspend, which is another prepaid company, and then went on to be the CEO of Green Dot. So great payment domain expertise. Dennis Triplett, he was at UMB Health the CEO of the healthcare side of UMB Bank, so comes out of banking. Jeff Newman used to work with Dan at Euronet. He was the general counsel there for many, many, many years. And then Bruce Mina, our audit chair, he has his own CPA firm. And with that, I will turn it over for questions. Yeah, so the question is, what happened in the pharma prepaid space is what we used to call it back in the early 2000s. So the prepaid space is just that. We were the electronic or prepaid provider for hubs, like McKesson I mentioned. Before PaySign stepped into this market, the industry repaid claims using checks. That's all it is. Check, 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 check. They would send a flat file to a check processor. They mail out checks. In steps, PaySign. We knew that we were only getting a fraction of the opportunity for that business. So in September 2022, the contract that we had with the big hub provider, we exited out of that contract. Ended up going to other hub providers that didn't have payment capability, saying, let's partner up. You do your hub stuff, we'll do the payment stuff. And then, you know, here now we sit with that. And then the other thing we did is we went direct to pharma. Before that, we didn't have any way to go direct to pharma. So now we've gone direct to pharma to do, you know, the bigger companies' payments for them. And that's what happened. Correct. Well, that was a big change when we moved from just doing the electronic payments for one customer and a little bitty piece of the business to going, boom, now we can do payments for everybody. We can do payments for hubs, and they act as kind of like our indirect salespeople. They bring us their customers, and then we can go direct to pharma, which we couldn't do before, and we do all their payments. So I do check, I do ACH, I do virtual debit card. That's how I pay. Most of my payments are electronic, ACH and virtual debit card. I hate checks. I wish they would go away, but they're not. You have to take the good to get the bad. So, yeah. And the other important thing is we open booked the pharmaceutical companies. In the past, it was a big black box. They did all these services. Payments was one of them. We went in and said, listen, here's how much you're going to pay per claim. Boom. So you can figure out if you're getting an ROI by paying those monies to cover that copay. It's totally different mentality. And I'm getting the yank. So thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. And please let me know if you have any questions.